SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Friday. Race fans, Sirius 219 XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to SiriusXM online and at our website, stevebick.com. And the remnants of the devastating storm, we're going to talk to Nick Tamaro at 10. And Nick sent me a picture this morning of his company's installation in Panama City. It's not an installation. It's a bunch of girders and beams. Everything else blown away. Really something. And even in the aftermath, in its reduced state, as it came up, you know, through the Blue Ridge Highway there, not good. Unbelievable. So I wish everybody the best, and we'll make the best of it here. Clearly, you can forget turf today. Just a nasty inundation. I talked to Gary Siaka earlier this morning, too, and Gary said, just team down rain in New York. And if they're lucky, they'll get it. They're off the turf, of course, today again, but tomorrow the hope, of course, is they can get the Floral Park and that terrific group together in the Pebbles going a mile, the three-year-old fillies are in focus as well at Keeneland, the Queen Elizabeth II Challenge Cup tomorrow, the feature and part of a Woodbine Keeneland, not just cross-country, international pick four. Again this week. Last week we had the international pick four with Belmont and with Longshaw. That paid $85. And, of course, the tricky horse was Jaywalk, I guess. I mean, the inclination would have been to single Kafefi, I suppose, if you spread elsewhere, but it was approachable. I mean, obviously with Enable, I'm sure a lot of people singled Enable too. $85 wasn't, I guess, terrible. I hadn't really thought about it, and I forgot to mention it until now. The Keeneland Woodbine sequence is the Queen Elizabeth, the Pattison, the Canadian International, a non-winners of three at Keeneland, and then back for the E.P. Taylor. So the 9th and 9th, the 10th and the 10th. Keeneland 9, Woodbine 9, Keeneland 10, Woodbine 10 is your Keeneland Woodbine pick 4. And we'll talk Woodbine, some handicapping on it with, I'm sure Nick will touch on it, and James Scully and Ed DeRosa as well. Back to Belmont, and I suppose there's one, I wouldn't call it a lesson, but it's certainly yesterday, if you were watching from early on, it was one of those sequences that, you know, in retrospect, you realize 50 Cent pick four, and you had off the turf. And I've said this before, you know, when you just throw up your hands and you say, oh, I can't, it's ruined, the card's ruined, you're missing invariably an opportunity. And you had a sequence where it started out with a first-time starter in a maiden claimer, maiden 50s. Rudy Rodriguez sent one out. 2-1 favorite and wins. Okay, so you got a favorite that starts the sequence. Then you had the two off the turf races, the second and third, you had a 6-1 shot. Leah Giamatti, who's having a good meet, and Dylan Davis, they combined 6-1. They beat the favorite. Then you had a big price. You had a 20-1 shot in an off the turf race. The third race, Diodoro, and drawing away 20-1 with J.R. Martinez, the 7-pound bug, wire to wire. Follow that up with an 11-1 shot, Gary Gullo. And, you know, hardly a secret, was not impossible, but went off at 11-1. So suddenly, here's a pick five. When you get the third choice at 7-2, Bill Mott for Obscure Connections, Windstar China Horse Club, and SF Racing. really obscure connections. Unbelievable. Single winner of the early pick five, the only pick five right now. The late pick five is, its run is over for now. But the pick five, $166,725. That is one ticket, because the pool was just under 200,000. Unbelievable. And it just, you know, look. One winner, so obviously it was difficult. But the pick four paid $5,540. And yes, the tough horse was the 20-1 shot, but as Andy tells you over and over again, these off-the-turf races are skewed. The public doesn't see them as clearly. I mean, everybody is singing the blue. Oh, it's gotten so hard to win, and it's impossible to win, and we're up against the groups, and it's all these things conspiring again. Okay, yeah, is it harder to win than ever? Yeah, it is. But these are opportunities. I mean, this is, you know, instead of saying, oh, it's off the turf, I can't play it. Okay, don't. But you're missing an opportunity. I mean, this is maybe the great equalizer under these circumstances. And then the rest of the sequence, 7-1 first time starter in a maiden special. 2-year-old New York breds. She's so shady. I'm not sure how Jason Service gets away with a first-time starter sprinting at 16:40, but did. He had a 3-5 shot get beat in the seventh. So now we're down to two off the turf races that scratch down to four horses, and you still ended up with outlandish numbers. You had a single winner in the pick six, $143,000. And the late pick four with two four-horse fields still paid $271. So I take it for what it's worth, but we've obviously been dealt a tough weather hand, and I just think you're missing opportunities if you just are dismissive and say, oh, I can't play it. It's too bad. I the numbers were just crazed. And actually at Keeneland was more of a, Keeneland, you had the speed bias that right from the get-go. How about Scooter Dickey at 41-1? You had an 84-80 winner to start the day at Keeneland. So things were squirrely in a few different spots around the country. You had 17-1 winner later on. Bill Van Meter. It was a fun day. I just was sort of sitting there. I basically yesterday was just biding my time till the Eagle game, and it took a couple little pops here and there just for fun. Really didn't do anything. You had nice numbers to close out the day at Keeneland, including that $30 winner in the nightcap and that $7,500 claimer. Bob Pinson's pick four paid $1,600. Unbelievable. Pick five, $4,200. So there's money to be made. There's gold in them Dare Hills. we'll try to dig it up. There may be... there's going to be, I think, some challenge. I went through the Stronach 5 for today. It's very tough. Very, very tough. And, you know, particularly trying to find a place to tiptoe to single. I don't know, maybe in the nightcap. I tried this last week. That horse of Mandela's in the fifth leg. The sweet sequence, if you haven't looked at it, it starts at 4:34 today. Starts a little earlier. 4:34. The GPW 7th. Two-year-old fillies going 7.5 on the turf. Then it goes to Santa Anita the 3rd. Back to Miami Gardens. The Gulfstream West 8th race. It's a mile on the turf claimers. They're coming down the hill for 50, maiden 50s at Santa Anita. Then to Laurel, 6 furlong maiden special weight. Seems like there's a bunch of horses. It's probably 2 A's, 2 B's, and 2 C's to deal with. And then closes out at Santa Anita in the 4th. Maiden special going 6. Maybe Hammer can help us a little bit. We'll also hear from Tom Quigley. So we'll see if Quigley's got ideas in the 3rd and the 4th. So a maiden claimer down the hill in the 3rd and main track 3/4 in the 4th. It's going to be tough. I couldn't put a ticket together for less than 108. That was as low as I could get. And I don't know. I understand what they want is a carryover for the following week, you know, to really make for, you know, the big dollars, the big spin. But I don't know. It 12 by 12 by 12 by 10 by 12. I don't know. I think, you know, make it approachable. I mean, it, and if you were going to do this with these big fields, then inscrutable and all these maiden races, well, then maybe it should be a 50-cent increment so that you can get more coverage. You know, the dollar, I don't mind the higher increment, typically, the dollar. I wouldn't argue that point, but it shouldn't be just impossible every week, so that, you know, you put a ticket just to have a ticket in, but it's guesswork. You know, it's a little too. Well, the first week, you know, we were all eager, and then last week and this week, last week got goofed up by the off the turf too, made it kind of squirrely. Marty McGee's going to start us off. Keeneland and more. We'll talk his division of the Breeders' Cup. Nicole Russo later will do her divisions. She's got a couple of divisions to look at and some sales news. Jay Privman, Hammer, Quigley, Scully, and DeRosa and more. Back after this.
the latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sportsform Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sportsform delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I'm going to Chicago. That's the last place my baby stays.
Just a couple of notes before Marty McGee joins us, and the word came yesterday, as expected, Diversify will bypass the Breeders' Cup Classic, really, as expected. But the bigger concern, actually, out of it is not, you know, not that he that he's not going to run. Rick Violette has been back in the hospital. And, you know, Rick has been ailing and facing illness here the last several years. And we wish him the best. He's one of the most respected horsemen and individuals around the, not just around New York, really anywhere. And we've said it many times, and particularly when Rick's long tenure at the head of the NYTHA group wrapped up. So, best wishes to Rick, and the the word was that from Mr. Evans that he was thinking maybe they'd point potentially to Pegasus, and it makes some sense actually, you know, given his style and given the 9 furlongs. So we'll keep you abreast of that and wish Rick Violette the best. Marty McGee joins us, and the Keeneland action later. We do have one more notable domestic race for a division, the Turf Sprinters, the Buffalo Trace, Franklin County. You know, Marty, no place puts more names on races, I think, than Keeneland. You know, there's the David Ogden Stern Phoenix, and there's the Buffalo Trace of the county.
have you ever heard Pat Cummings do the imitation of Kurt Becker saying, and that's the Stoll Ogden Phoenix, 156 running, and it dives to the rail.
I love it.
Becker is great about taking kidding. He is really good about it because we all imitate him all the time. So, and he is going to win it.
because of what he had to do, you know, which is completely, you know, create a sound for Keeneland. It is notable. A couple of years ago, I said to him, it seemed like he had gotten more animated than he had ever been before, and he admitted, yes, that was true. That after the long period without a race caller whatsoever, you know, that they wanted him to be subdued, and it's only recently that he's gotten more animated.
I have in my hand, and I will try and text it to you, a story I wrote. It's an opus. It's like probably 4,000 word story. I went to his house in Altamont, Illinois. I'd just gotten back. It was after doing the pulpit watch, so it was 1997, and the story is dated April 2nd, 1997, and it's about Kurt. And here it is. I'm going to send it to you now. Silence broken, comma, Becker primed for Keeneland. And it's all about his background and his dad and, you know, him becoming the first ever and still only race caller at Keeneland. So I found this. Actually, I had to go to the Keeneland Library to get it. And this is his 44th meet at Keeneland.
Wow.
And they've had nobody else. So, I'm sending this to you now. But he's a great guy. I mean, really. Have you had him on the show much or what?
Yeah, every so often. And a couple of times, with the with Mike and Jude. You know, when they're palling around, Breeders' Cup. I think a couple of different times, particularly before Breeders' Cups, as it happens. Now that I think about it.
Terrific announcer.
Absolutely.
He doesn't mind playing the foil or the straight guy, you know, where everybody's kind of making jokes about him and stuff, because he does have a real distinct style. And but he rarely makes errors, which is what really the bottom line in race callers is what you want.
You know, when you said that you were holding in your hand, I thought you were gonna say, I'm holding in my hand a small box of chocolate bunnies, which is a Dale Cooper line from Twin Peaks. Diane, I'm holding in my hand a small box of chocolate bunnies. I got to admit, I'm very punchy. I was up, I watched the Eagle game last night, and so this is the price of winning a Super Bowl, all these late night games that Johnny D turned in at halftime.
Well, I guess they might be in the top five for Colin Cowherd now again. With that effort last night, yes.
The next time I listen to him will be maybe the third time ever. I'm not a fan.
He's pretty good.
He's a creep.
Yeah, we all have our.
I'm sorry.
That's why God invented the mutual machine. We all have our own.
I do love the picture you sent me, though. That's unbelievable. Look at Becker. This should be four. You've had a productive morning. You also sent me that great caricature of yourself from years ago.
Well, I literally have torn up my house looking for the John Asher cassette tape on my brother back in '89, and I've come across a lot of stuff, including that. I got to get that. I'm going to use that for a Throwback Thursday one day. One day I'm walking around in the Inner Harbor at Baltimore, minding my own business, and there's a sketch artist, and he drew me and everything. That's the result. So you'll have to put it on Twitter or something later, maybe.
I will. I absolutely will. And this picture too, because look at that head of hair on Kurt Becker.
Yeah. Well, now he like gets a burr all the time.
Yeah. So. Exactly.
That was really. You know, the one thing that I remember, they didn't have sewers in his neighborhood. It was like real flat, like no sidewalks, no sewers, no nothing. It's just like houses built into the ground on these flat roads, and it's about a mile east of St. Louis, and right on. It's one of those towns that's right on the interstate, where kind of pretty much the I think the town grew around the interstate on. It would have to be 70 because it's coming from 70 from through. Terre Haute, yeah.
Yeah, absolute. How funny is that? I didn't realize he was from East St. Louis, basically, that corridor.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
You know, he makes the commute a lot. Like, he still lives there. So he'll come in for the meets, and he'll come in for the, talking about Kurt Becker, the announcer at Keeneland, and he'll come in from, come in for the auctions, I imagine he does a lot of flying out of the St. Louis airport because of his. I think he still does the NASCAR gigs, so yeah.
Well, the always enlightening. You never know. I love it. Well, Mart, let's catch up, and I do want to get your Breeders' Cup division discussion in, too. We'll talk about, and maybe that's where we could start. Let's start with the TCA and the result, and here was Golden Mischief, and I did talk to, as it happens, Garrett O'Rourke. We wanted to use the Enable win, and it gave me a chance to catch up with the Team Judmont, use that as the jump-off and any news in your Philly and Mare Sprint division.
Well, it looks like it's going to be a big field for the Philly Mare Sprint. It's going to be one of the more competitive races, I would imagine, on the Breeders' Cup days. It just so happens that the four top contenders that we have listed in daily racing form, none of them raced in either the TCA last Saturday or the LA Woman on Sunday. And those four would be the Baffert pair of Marley's Freedom and Dream Tree. Then you have John Sadler lurking in the bushes with Selcourt, who's, of course, very highly regarded. And then over here at Churchill with Finley's Lucky Charm. So those are the top four. The results from the TCA, you know, just kind of a fringe type of effect with Golden Mischief, who I had my doubts about, you know, with Brad having sent her to both Iowa and West Virginia after she got thumped in the race here at the end of the spring meet, the winning colors. But she ran huge. She didn't have the best of trips. She really was game to come up between horses and on the inside with Giroux to win it. The filly who was second, Chalon for Arnaud Delacour, I called him on Monday. He said, we'll most likely pre-enter. There's really nowhere else to run a horse like this at this time until you come around to the first of the year. And so they're almost for sure going to pre-enter her. Vertical Oak, I was kind of surprised when Steve Asmussen told me the next day that she is not going to run on the Breeders' Cup Filly Mare Sprint because he doesn't want the 7/8 for it. He thinks that the 6 furlongs and the Dream Supreme on Breeders' Cup weekend at Churchill will hit her right between the eyes, so she's going there. Miss Sunset, who was fourth, is the favorite with really no excuse under Mike Smith. I think they're taking a wait and see, as is, transitioning over to the first to the LA Woman, as are the folks affiliated with Sky Diamonds, the winner of the LA Woman. I also texted Dick Mandola about Anonymity, who was second as the odds-on favorite in the Santa Anita race. They're also taking a wait and see. So you got a lot of them thinking about running, just kind of assessing everything. You know, Bob Baffert had talked about running Marley's Freedom, who clearly is the favorite in the race, off her Ballerina Victory. He talked about running her in the LA Woman, as he is wont to do, had second thoughts and just decided to train her into the race. She had a real nice breeze. It was Saturday or maybe Monday for her, and the other Dream Tree worked Saturday or Monday. So it looks like everybody's kind of on schedule for that race. And, you know, as often happens, Steve, in these Breeders' Cup races, it's everybody and their brother coming in. So it's a pretty good situation in terms of how the filly mare sprint's shaking out.
What have you heard from Chad Brown with the at least, what, three that he has seemingly available?
Yeah, I was surprised. He told me both Separation of Powers and Your Love, who was second in the Gallant Bloom, they're both out. I don't know what his plans are for them. And when I asked him about Louis Bay, who was dismal when finishing last as the favorite in the Gallant Bloom, he said he not sure yet. So I would have thought that both of those other two would have gone, but evidently not.
Wow. Well, Separation of Powers, the turn back seemed like a natural for her. That's interesting because he's been so good in this arena, with particularly with the turn back candidates. Union Strike is a go, yes, for Asmussen and Mick Ruiz?
Yeah, she's a go. And then a couple other horses who I thought were really interesting. Feral, even though she was just horrible in the Beldame. I keep pressing Cat Daddy about her, and he says he doesn't know what they're going to do. I thought that the turn back might be interesting for her. You know, if she drew like
a
13 hole and just popped it, you know, she might be real tough in a race like that. But apparently they haven't made up their mind yet. And then I texted Josie Carroll about Amy's Mesa, who we know ran huge, should barely get beat last year in the race. And I noticed that since she ran poorly in the Presque Isle race, that Amy's Mesa has worked twice really fast at Woodbine, hence my inquiring, and she said probably not. So I was a little surprised at that.
A couple of other names that were expected. Stormy Embrace is a yes, right, for Kathleen O'Connell.
She's a yes. She didn't have any. She didn't have works recently. And, you know, sometimes they'll miss them at Calder, I mean Gulfstream West. And, you know, Kathleen's dad just died a couple of weeks ago, so she was tied up with that. But she told me that she met, you know, how it rains this time of year. The wettest I've ever been, I told you, was at a Dolphins-Ravens game in Joe Robbie one time in September. They were retiring Marino's number, and I've never been wetter in my life. And, you know, it rains all the time down there, so she said she had to miss a work. And I would imagine if I looked her up her PP, she might have worked it again. But Gulfstream, the publicity department put out some notes that both her two-year-old Colt or Gelding, and both Stormy and Brace, they're on pace.
Mia Mischief for Asmussen, Finley's Lucky Charm. What about Let It Ride Mom, Mark Cassie?
I asked David Carroll, and he wasn't sure. And then as far as Mia Mischief, Steve had told me before the TCA she might run on that, but she didn't. And she is supposed to work either tomorrow or Sunday, I read somewhere. So, yeah, she's a go.
Well, then we've got at least a dozen, it would look like. And then there's a few that are kind of hanging on the sidelines, like Curlin's Approval, I suppose. Happy Altar, I'm sure, would like to come. Kirby's Penny, Highway Star.
Yeah, I haven't asked about Kirby's Penny with Wesley or Highway Star. But Curlin's Approval, I told you, the three-quarters just weren't going to be any good for her. I told you that last week on the show.
All right. So I'll take her off my list.
Still there. She, the filly who was second in the Ballerina for Dane Kibiski, she evidently had something come up. She can't make it. But he had really, yeah, I asked one of his good friends on Saturday, I said, is he intending to run her? He said, yeah. And then on Tuesday, I texted him back. He said, no. So evidently something has happened with her. So
Lake Pontchartrain?
I don't know. She hadn't had a work in a long time, Steve, and then something popped up on her page the other day, so I haven't inquired about that, but she'd be an interesting 30-to-1 shot.
Yeah, I thought so too. And you know, you got to be very cognizant of every nook and cranny, because you know, you start to get used to a preconceived set of contenders in these races, and then somebody enters the picture. You start to make early determinations on pace, and then all of a sudden somebody gets involved that you hadn't thought about, and your mind is already somewhat, you know, leaning, and you got to be careful on that. So keep all options open.
Like Bar of Gold, for instance. You know, I kept asking Kimmel last year. We were texting back and forth a lot. And, you know, after she ran horrible in the Spencer, I might have texted him back once, and he still said maybe. I mean, didn't the owners have something else in that last year? So she was kind of an afterthought, I think, for the Kimmels. Yeah. Or for the, not the Kimmels.
The Bromans. The Bromans.
Yeah, the Bromans. Yeah, yeah.
That was one of the crazy. I was standing on the apron with Gabby Cadet, and we were, you know, who do you like, and I loved Demise Mesa and Barb Gold gallops by, and she looked unbelievable. And Gabby said, I just talked about her. She goes, he said, she looked unreal in the paddock. And he goes, look at her out there. And so we ended up both making bets at the last minute on Bar of Gold. That unbelievable. That boosted the day. It was just ridiculous.
I've always liked her, too. But, you know, you get certain things that just throw you off. Wasn't she like 0 for 15 on the dirt? I mean, she had an over on something that was like.
Well, she hadn't won in graded. She didn't have a graded stake win. She'd been looking for either a graded win or a grade one anything. It was just ridiculous. And she'd been competitive for so long, and during the week, there's some people that actually cashed, because during the week I had said it would be unbelievable if in her final career start, Bar of Gold, who's done everything except win, you know, a this kind of a race, and there it was. And the other one was Highway Star, Rodrigo Ubillo.
Yeah,
was the other Broman, and she's under consideration.
Yeah, I've got her on there. I've got to do more work on her.
Well, you know, I've got breaking news. Breaking news.
Go ahead.
You can add Heaven Has My Nikki to the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint working list. Ron Paolucci just let us know. She's prepping, of course, tomorrow at Thistledown in the Best of Ohio Series. So add Heaven Has My Nikki to the Filly and Mare Sprint.
What'd he do? Just text you right now?
He just did. There you go.
I love it.
Live breaking news.
You know, by the way, what's the latest line? You know, he just called me out of the blue that one day about a month or two ago when he said, I'm out. I'm done. I'm gone. I'm selling everything. You know, I said, fine. You know, if I put this in print, are you going to, are you absolutely serious? 100%, 1,000,000%. Yes, I'm out. So what's the Vegas line on him getting out now? He loves the game too much. He loves it.
Of course he does. There was absolutely no. It was 2-5 that would be a short lived departure from the sport.
Well, I don't know.
I love it. Well, and speaking of which, we're going to discuss with Ed DeRosa, particularly the Thistledown card. The best of all, Mark, did you look at this slate at Thistledown tomorrow?
I did not, but
it's unbelievable.
Was it prompted by Luch's tweet that you guys better talk about it or what?
Well, there's good reason to talk about it. You've got it's $750,000 worth of stakes and five divisions, $150,000 each, 14 horse fields, 9 horse, 11, 9, 9, 14. I mean, it big, well matched fields. Good. Congratulations to Ohio. Outstanding.
Yeah, I want to see Rivers Run Deep win. That's my man, Hartman. He really
likes it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Ron is Ron's represented in 6 races, and what's the over under for for Luch wins tomorrow.
It's got to be 2.5, isn't it?
I think that's a good number. That's a good number. Yeah. That's slightly lower than Jay Privman at King Umberto, which is typically 3.5 to 4. Mart, a couple of quick looks. You got the Buffalo Trace Franklin County today, turf sprinting, and we should also comment on Rusty Arnold's nice winner on Wednesday. The Jessamine and Thought Concrete Rose looked terrific. She won as she pleased, basically. And then, of course, tomorrow, the QE2.
Well, as far as Rusty's filly, I mean, he entered her, as we know, in the Bourbon as insurance in case she didn't get in the Jessamine. She did. And, you know, he loves when a plan comes together. You know, this side of Chad, he's got to be one of the favorites, Rusty does. The Franklin County today is such a great race. I mean, I called Darren Miller about the filly who had won at Saratoga and won at Kentucky Downs, and that was my lead. Usually if a horse has done that, she's going to be the favorite in her next start. But no, she's going to be, you know, 6 or 8 to 1 in that race. I think the California horse, Belvoir Bay, is going to be tough off the bench. So she's my pick. Tomorrow in the QE2, we've got a field of 8. Rushing Fall has to be odds on. A couple of them might even come out. Princess Warrior I saw in the Keeneland notes at McPeak's, considering withholding her for the Valley View a week from today to mile 16th. 3-year-old fillies on the turf. Also, George Weaver said he was going to make a game day decision. I wrote about that. With Daddy's a Legend, who I have picked second behind Rushing Fall. I had it at 8-4-1, but it sure looks like Rushing Fall. Chad's kind of cherry picking here. He's evidently not going to run her in the Breeders' Cup Filly Mare turf because of the 11 furlongs there. So this is kind of her Breeders' Cup, and I'm sure she's right and ready. Her work pattern since the Lake Placid is just perfect. So, you know, you're looking at a $3 mutual, I think, on Rushing Fall tomorrow.
That seems about right. The one mystery participant is Mission Impassable, the Irish bred, the Galileo filly that Jean-Claude Roget brings over. And Florent Giroux, who's 1-for-20 at Keeneland thus far, is going to ride. You know, speaking of the QE2, how about today, Mart? You woke up and there was a royal wedding. Where did they produce this? She's like a pop tart. This Princess Eugenia. Where'd she come from?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
There's a royal wedding going on. Another one, Princess Eugenia,
in England.
Right now, I woke up this morning. The first thing I see is royal wedding. I'm like, royal wedding? What are you talking about? Princess Eugenia. She's like a Disney princess. I don't know who she is. It's crazy.
See you later, Beck.
Marty McGee, everybody. DRF McGee with a classic performance today, a classic visit. And I'll send you that. Wait to see this picture, this great 90s era character of Marty. When he 89. Was 89?
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Mart, on the stomp down on the Inner Harbor, probably, and this is great. A characterist corralled him, I've got one, too, actually, up here somewhere. I'll put mine up, too. We'll put them up next. I'll put them up next to each other.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Mart. Marty McGee, everybody. He's on his way to Keeneland. You can see him there, and go up and introduce yourself and tell him how much you love what he does. Marty's just so much fun. We will take a break. And I've got my little handheld tape recorder, and Diane, I'm holding in my hand a small box of chocolate bunnies. Gary Cooper? No. Dale Cooper. Oh, FBI. Yeah. Twin Peaks. You get a little bit of everything. And I'm, you know, I'm working on about 4 hours sleep, so I'm a little loose on the lead today. What do we got going next? How about, I think, DeRosa and Scully. DeRosa and Scully. Then Nick Tamaro. We've got Quigley's Corner. We've got Jay Pribman. Hammer. Nicole Russo. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sportsform Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sportsform delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky Tracks for Horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
My baby, don't stand no cheating, my baby. Oh, yeah, she don't stand no cheating, my baby. Oh, yeah, she don't stand no cheating. She don't stand none of that midnight creeping, my baby. True little baby, my baby. My baby, I know she'd love me, my baby. Oh, yes, I know she'd love me, my baby. Oh, yes, I know she love me. She don't do nothing but kiss and hug me, my baby. True little baby, my baby.
Little Walter. I was introduced to that by my friends in the Warsaw Falcons. Cincinnati, go crazy, Cincinnati. Dollar bills, Corey's, absolutely so great. And they're doing some gigs. Dave Brown and Doug Wagner and John Schmidt, and absolute unbelievable, incredible show band that marked my era in Cincinnati. And the Modulators. I was a Falcons guy, but Modulators. Who still has on their car, on their bumper sticker, I modulate? Huh? I'm pulling out all the chestnuts today. James Scully joins us. Scully, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm getting up there in age myself, but I'm not that old. I don't remember the Module 8 bumper sticker.
Wait, did you grow up in the Natty?
No, I just thought it was just strictly in the Cincinnati. Okay, well, I must have missed that part of it then. All right.
Yeah, it's Cincinnati. That's and how old are you?
I am 50.
All right, so you're on the outside edge. You just qualify. But you're like me. You only got married.
Married late in life. Yeah. I'm coming up on a 1 year anniversary in November. So gonna take a little time off after the Breeders' Cup, and it's gone great. Glad I did it.
Really good. Good job. All right. I waited. I say that as if it was all my choice. I asked three different girls to marry me. I went 0-for-3. I was gonna if Tina had said no, I would have taken that. That would have been the golden sombrero of wedding invites, of marriage proposals. I mean, you go 0-for-4, and you don't start playing ball at your age. You retire.
Yeah, you were sitting on a hat trick. Yeah.
Unbelievable. I'm in rare form today. Ed DeRosa is standing by as well.
Question for you.
Yes.
Did people throw fish at you after the third rejection?
No, there were no octopi. There was no octopi on the ice. Yes, that's a Detroit. That's an Olympia thing. I love it. Well, Ed, I don't know if you were listening earlier, but we had big breaking news.
I missed it.
Heaven has my Nikki. We got the word that she's gonna angle toward the Breeders' Cup and try the filly and mare sprint.
Interesting. In addition to winning the distaff tomorrow, or instead of?
Absolutely. She's gonna make for that rare double, the Ohio distaff Breeders' Cup filly and mare sprint double that is rarely attained.
But not impossible based on what we saw last year, I would say.
Absolutely not. Look, the whole evolution of the Presque Isle Masters as the key prep for the filly and mare sprint was improbable enough. So, absolutely, this is why not?
Why not? None. She's. We'll get to with the Jack Thistledown action. Certainly, the freshening off the stakes double when she went Kentucky Oaks to a turf race at Belterra has done her good, because she's looked great in her two coming into this one. So, and then get the cup back in the Breeders' Cup. Luch looking to make some moves.
It's got the lime green thumbprint of Luch all over it. Let's get a couple of post-weekend opinions, and most of the dust is settled. We've got, we do have the turf sprint today, the Buffalo Trace, but pretty much things are starting to fall into place. We have to, as Steve Haskins said yesterday, we got to get through Champions Day, of course, at Ascot on the 20th, and then we'll get, final international commitments, and there'll be others. I mean, the horses that aren't involved in Champions Day this next week, a lot of the Europeans will make their commitments. Some thoughts about, start with you, Ed, some of the Keeneland Fall Stars weekend action and what we saw at Belmont and Santa Anita.
Yeah, another exciting round of preps, really getting us going for the Breeders' Cup for sure. And I'll use this opportunity to note that Brisnet now has Breeders' Cup past performances available for all races. They're grouped by the Friday 2-year-old races and Saturday the rest of the Breeders' Cup. And just anyone who goes to Brisnet, get your PPs normally. Make sure you click on the calendar and change it to November so you actually get the Breeders' Cup date. So they are listed by the day of the event. We're excited to have those contender PPs out. I know people are angling to start their homework. And for me, last weekend's action was more about who didn't run than did, because the way I kind of approach the Breeders' Cup, I get excited about maybe a key horse or two. And right now, Steve, I'm so high on Sister Charlie for the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf, and to see four-star Crook win as she did and get that grade one out of the same stable just boosted my confidence. So that was a big takeaway for me. And then on the juvenile side of things, as James and I talked about earlier this week on our video, Classic East-West Showdown with Game Winner and Complexity, I think those two have definitely separated themselves from the rest of their generation early on, of course. But looking forward to those two knocking heads under the Twin Spires.
James, what was your takeaway from last weekend?
I thought Friday at Keeneland, you know, had two terrific prep races with Restless Rider and Alcibiades and Promises Fulfilled, Whitmore and Limousine Liberal in the Phoenix. Saturday's races, I'm of like the opinion, I'm going to shade all those horses that ran in those five stakes at Keeneland. I didn't see anybody really exiting those races that I liked. I do sort of like Standard Deviation going forward, but I mean, I think he's more like, you know, a horse to look at for like exotics, like underneath in the Breeders' Cup. I like Concrete Rose's race. What a turn of foot she had. Of course, she's going to run up against some heavy hitters in that spot, Newspaper A Record and others. And just like one thing, like for me, that I'm looked for is perhaps horses that didn't win, but to me ran sneaky races. And there was one a couple of weeks ago, I thought Giant Expectations off the Shelf ran a really good race in that ACAC. You know, he broke, missed the break and rushed, made a huge move, and I thought that was a sneaky effort. He'll be in tough, but he's the kind of horse I think will move forward. And another one I saw this weekend, Steve, and he's in a real tough race as well, but Ransom the Moon was he was up there like chasing the pace. I mean, he made an early move going into the far turn to challenge for the lead, and then was, you know, sort of like out of gas. But to me, that's complete opposite trip that he wants to get at Churchill Downs. He was like a 10th turning for home in that Bing Crosby and ran by him all in the stretch. I see him as a one-run closer. You can draw a line straight through that Santa Anita sprint for him. So he's a little intriguing because he's going to be a price off that effort, I think.
That point, actually, I saw that same point made yesterday. I forget who made it, and I'm sure Quigley will discuss it too when we talk to him. Absolutely, maybe it was Phil D'Amato that made the point. I think was quoted. Yeah, I think that's what it was. Steve Anderson, I think, had got that feedback. So yeah, regarding the pace and how the race unfolded. Well, we obviously this is what it's all about, is watching replays and discerning and understanding, you know, who benefited from a pace scenario or from you know, possible bias-aided, you know, best parts of racetracks, etc. And then we mix them all together, shuffle the deck. When it comes to the Cup, let's do some handicapping, though, and get some opinions for the weekend. And Ed DeRosa, where do we start?
Woodbine, for me, you know, great card as always for their big grade ones with the Woodbine International and E.P. Taylor. I'd say my biggest price look, though, is actually in the New Arctic. Potential prep for the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, but a fine race in its own right. I really like Kitten's Cat in here, who has a big number on the morning line. Finally found the winner's circle, going shortest that he's gone in a while, 6 furlongs. Also had Eureka Da Silva up last, got a good number to jump up in class, but this one definitely fits, and you're getting the right price. And then another maker in that same race, number 4, Hembry, looks good, too, and he's shipping from Kentucky Downs, which has been pretty productive at Keeneland so far this meet. So definitely looking for the Kentucky Downs shippers to do well at Woodbine on their turf course for some big races, too. So 2-4 in the Arctic, some pretty decent prices there.
James?
I like Hembry in that spot. You know, he's a typical, like, we see these horses every year for Maker. They claimed him for $50,000 in April. brought him back, you know, switched him back to turf, and he's just moving forward. He was in a tough inside post, I thought, you know, in slot last time, and it was only a six-horse field, so it wasn't that tough. But that was a really sharp win, I thought. I think he's moving forward, and he won't be far back on a moderate pace, so he's got the chance to really trip out here, I think, with Irad Ortiz. So I'm going with Embry on top. And I also want to just real quick throw some praise to my man Ed. On Wednesday at Keeneland, he won $11,000 on that early pick four. He used the all button right, Steve, in the first race at $106 mutual, and so he's been pretty hot of late.
Oh, that's tremendous! That was the race with Triple J, right? With the Louisiana Jared,
yeah.
Joe Bear, yeah.
Yep. Yeah,
good job, Bear, Eddie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I thought it paid fantastic, and my three key horses all won after, so I ended up catching it for $1.50. So, yeah, good quasi start to the meet, second week, I guess, but early enough that gives us some nice momentum.
Good job, well done. Put that away, and that'll make you know, that's the kind of bankroll builder that, you know, just makes it so easy to go into Breeders' Cup and fire. That is a confidence builder, and you know, one of those. Well, and you know, to have that kind of a bank it enables you to build the kind of tickets with a free hand that makes it possible to go after a six-figure score Breeders' Cup weekend.
Absolutely. Just need to not get too aggressive at Portland Meadows on Tuesday.
Well, exactly. I mean, you could blow the whole thing by next Tuesday at Finger Lakes and Portland. Yeah, exactly.
Bankroll management key, for sure.
Give it to your wife to hold until November
1st. Well, I want it back.
I love it. All right. What else? Let's stay at Woodbine. They've got, and I think they're okay weather-wise. I don't think they're going to.
Yeah, I think the grade one double later in the card, the International and E.P. Taylor. Thundering Blue, certainly understand why he's the morning line favorite. I hate to typecast. I wish I knew more about Swedish Racing, because it seemed odd, I guess, that off a nice Group 2 victory, the horse goes to Stockholm instead of some other spots in Europe, but you know, maybe it works out and they take down this Group One, and who am I to question? But certainly on Bristnet class ratings fits very well, and I do see him as the most likely winner. But I am going to run back Fantastic, who I liked in the Sword Dancer, and they tried a pocket trip and just didn't have any punch, so maybe we're back on or near the front this time, and could see that trip working out against this group. And then to close the grade one double, Sheikha Rika, number four, I hope I said that right, but biggest win of the career, came stretching out, gets the distance again, and I think some of the other Euros and Chad Brown will take money, and we'll get the right price on this import, who definitely fits to me and has the look of some of those second tier, at least on paper, horses that we've seen win races like the Beverly D before, and I think this one sort of fits that mold in the E.P. Taylor and 12-1 morning line is a good price. So Fantastic and Sheikha Rika are the two prices I like in the group ones at Woodbine.
You know, that trip to Stockholm might be a red herring.
As in, they knew they were sitting on something good and get under the radar prep before this big prize?
No, it's a low hanging. It's a herring joke. It's
it's too smart for me, Steve.
Yeah, it's Scandinavia herring. Okay, all right.
You know, Steve, I do like a Thundering Blue, and I'll tell you, I took a close look at him. It took him 9 races to break his maiden, and since then, this 5-year-old gelding has won 6 of his last 11 starts, rising through the handicap ranks to the group level, and he won that York Stakes Group 2, 3 starts back. That effort, 2 back in the Judmon International, is way better than this competition. Roaring Lion has won 3 straight Group 1s. Poets World, who beat Thundering Blue by 0.5 length in August, is the only horse to beat Cracksman this year and the Prince of Wales, you know, multiple Group 1 winner as well. Those horses are dynamite, you know, top Europeans. And then he just came back, and that was just, you know, I mean, he did what he was supposed to do in that Swedish race. You know, shows he can travel and comes back off a 20-day rest. I mean, I like it, and it's going good for this trainer, and the jockey comes along with him, Barry. So I'm going to go with Thunder and Blue in the International, and I'm on the Euro train on both these races in the E.P. Taylor. I like Golden Legend. I think, you know, there's another filly. She's coming back 26 days after her last start. She's won three of her last eight, appears to be rounding into top form off that Group 3 win last out. And, you know, I'm going to give her the edge. I like the other Euro Sheikha Rika as well a little bit. That was her this will be her first start against grade group level, but she's coming in on the upswing for a good trainer, Roger Varian, taking on olders here.
Well, the two grade ones on the card there, the 9th and the 10th, they pair up with the 9th and the 10th at Keeneland. Let's talk about the International and that, the QE2 and the non-winners of three lifetime, the 10th, that pair up on the cross-the-border pick four. Ed?
I have not gotten to the 10th yet, but in the QE2, Chad's off to a somewhat slow start by his standards at Keeneland, but pretty optimism for Rushing Fall after the last, where it seemed like she was in a spot in her career where maybe she's not what we thought she was, or sometimes, you know, fillies just go in the wrong direction, and I get the sense that was not the case following her last. So I think she looks pretty tough in the QE2, and probably of the four races would be my most likely single, although I guess I should say of the three I've handicapped, maybe something will stick out in the allowance. But the QE2, I think Chad has this one in his sights.
James?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to, you know, it's tough to go against Rushing Fall. I mean, he you know, she didn't miss like one work after that Edgewood. He just didn't want to run her a mile and a quarter. And I was, you know, hoping she might be a little vulnerable going down for a long last time, but she looked great in that Lake Placid. I'd be surprised if, you know, she doesn't try longer distances next year. But, you know, it's going to be interesting a little bit what the pace scenario is in the QE2, because there's just no other speed in this race. And in that Edgewood, I mean, she sat nicely in that place off of a slow pace that day. And I think that's obviously what Castellano wants to do. But there's a chance he'll be out there in front. He just can't stop her. I mean, I took a good look at Mission Impossible. She beat Crown Walk, who was 7-2 in the First Lady last weekend. She beat her two starts back and, you know, has you know, doing pretty good right now. But it Rushing Fall will be awfully tough to beat. And that last race, I mean, it just couldn't have come up with like more pace. I mean, that 10th race at Keeneland tomorrow has all this speed in it. And you know, I sort of like Dutch Parrot. I think she's going to be rolling late going back to the turf. She's a big, huge long shot for Bill Van Meter. And I thought she looked a little bit intriguing. I liked her effort two starts back and never really ran last time in against Blue Cross on the long track. But that Arkansas bred for me is going to be on my ticket, Steve.
All right. What else we got? The time to go to Cleveland? What do we got, Dad?
Yeah, well, I mentioned I do like Heaven Has My Nicky in the Distaff. Just a classic, got the time off. She probably needed after, you know, taking a try in the Oaks, which I don't mind after the spring she had, but that seemed to do her good. And the only other threat is the stablemaid, who figures to be setting the pace. So I do like Heaven Has My Nicky in the Distaff. I am going to go against Luch in the Endurance, though. That's race 8 of the 9 race card, and the late pick 5 is all stakes, Best of Ohio. Mo Don't Know, probably definitely formidable and a worthy favorite, but let's call it even. Beat Mo Don't Know last time. Clearly has no issue with the 10 furlong distance, which I definitely think is interesting for these state breds. And there's some outside speed in this race that I think will make things difficult for Mo Don't Know, that just have zero chance in the race, but their only style is to wing it. And I think it just sets up better for Let's Call It Even. So that's a big play for me, especially at 9-2. I think he'll probably float down from that and be just off Mo Don't Know, but definitely see him as the second choice and the play in the endurance.
Any other Ohio ideas?
Yeah, well, there are 2 2-year-old races, and I haven't dug in, but I'm definitely going to post a pick five ticket, because I think it's a pretty decent sequence, and hopefully we can get live to Luch in the last for a decent number.
Excellent. James, anything else around the country?
Well, I'll just mention a couple horses today for the listeners at Keeneland. They got 2 6 furlong, 2-year-old Billy Mays special weight races. Race 4. There's some top contenders inside, but there's a Wesley Ward horse right outside them. She's going to show a lot of speed. Number 10, Vinca. It's a half-sister to Royal Champion sprinter Roy H. Her dam was a multiple grade 3 winning sprinter. Shows a bullet work for Mike Maker. Could get the right trip from post 10 with Tyler Gaffaglione. The sixth race, the second division of that maiden, the favorites don't look good to me. Number 5, Champagne Neri, is by Shackelford, who's been coming on. His dam is a half-sister to Disco Rico, who was really talented and a real good sprinter. And that dam is also a sister to Life Happened, who's the dam of Tepin. So really regally bred female family, a little bit on that Champagne Neri. I think the favorites are vulnerable, and she's one to look at for Wayne Catalano, 19% first time out.
Not just the dam of Tepin. Who's the brother of Tepin out of Life Happened?
Oh, gang. Who is that?
Vijack.
That's right. The New York bred, right?
Wonderful Vijack.
Did he win the Kilrow?
He did go out to California. Did he win the Kilrow or the Shoemaker?
Yeah, one of those.
He was wonderful. Just a horse that
Rodriguez Rudy had him early. Yeah.
Well, and Rudy, of course, had to deal with him. Remember, he was a runoff, and Rudy worked and got on him himself all the time, and with the hackamore headgear to try to control him, and you know, everybody kind of. You know, was dismissive of him, and he went on to what? To run for, he was versatile. He was, oh my God, he had a great career, Vijack.
Yeah, he was, you know, he placed in a lot of stakes, too. He made a lot of money, right?
Right, and he became a turf horse, as Zed points out. He became a turf horse, a miler. He did everything. I bet you he ran till at least 7 and maybe even into his 8-year-old year. I've got the pins Naira gave out in the Wood Memorial that year. Yeah. Verrazano, I think, right? Verrazano and Vijack were on a collision course at some point.
who split them in the try?
It was that Say Ho, wasn't it? That violet horse.
Oh my God.
Or what was it?
Normandy Invasion.
Normandy Invasion. Okay. How about that?
Wow. Chad Brown.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, Vijack. He won the City of Hope Mile.
City of Hope Mile. There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
On the Sharp Samurai last week. Well, boys, if you got anything else, we'll call it On Account of Darkness.
All right.
All right, sounds good, Steve. Have a great weekend.
The Breeders' Cup push.
James and Ed, what are all the kids going out as for Halloween? Are those plans finalized?
We're pretty heavy into Frozen, so Carly's that age, so she's going as Elsa or Anna. I'm not sure she's even decided yet. And Dominic's a big Peanuts guy, so he's going as Snoopy.
Very cool.
EJ is still TBD.
All right. Keep us informed.
Absolutely.
We've got to survey all the children of the industry. And we already know that I asked Anna Seitz at Parks. I asked Anna what Frankie was going as. And I guess when she was in Korea, she got him this this Korean getup. So we're looking forward to see. I had made a suggestion after his famous Pope Mobile smashing
great,
success. Yeah, that was an all-time success. I love it. All right, well, boys.
Dominic did tell me he wants me to go as a dirty sock, so I'm trying to figure out how to pull that off.
Interesting.
I have no idea how that popped into his head, but he has my creativity, so I'm going to try to embrace it.
You could go as Frank Thomas.
That's not bad.
Thank you. Hey, now.
Yeah. Or Kurt Schilling.
And well, that would be a deplorable sock.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot about the aftermath of the bloody sock.
I love it. Too good. Ed DeRosa and James Scully, everybody, always a pleasure. And the big picks will be up on the intranet later today or in the morning. And we're going to take the break. Nick Tamaro going to join us next. Plus Tom Quigley. We got Hammer. We got Jay Privman and Nicole Russo. Stay with us at the races. Weekend preview.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.